All right, here we go. Vegas Fever Podcast. Jason and Paul are here with you. We got a special guest coming on here in just a second. Lots of Vegas news in terms of UNLV, which, you know, kind of was just, you know, a couple things came up the last few days with the Runner Rebels. Some, you know, a bunch of VGK news to go over. And that special guest is someone that we are really proud to be associated with, and we do a lot of stuff together, and stuff that'll be happening more and more in the future. That is Kyle Christian from Vegas Varsity, VegasVarsity.com, at Vegas Varsity on Twitter. Kyle, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. So lots of stuff. Going to start with the Golden Knights. After we did our last show, this always happens. You know, me and Paula talk about this all the time. So we had to do a little bit of a kind of a mini session because they hire Bruce Cassidy. And then right after that, Evgeny Dodonov gets traded to Montreal for basically nobody. I mean, it's not nobody, it's Shea Weber, but Shea Weber's not going to play. Your thoughts, I want to get your thoughts on Dodonov, because he almost was traded. He was.
He was traded back.
And then now he's going to Montreal. What was your thought when you saw that? We're going to get to something really cool, but I wanted to know what your thought of is, you know, for the Golden Knights trade for somebody that they're basically not going to get any use out of.
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, they're kind of a victim of the cap space that they're in at the moment. So you knew this move was coming. And based on his contract, it looks like there's cap relief based on the years and what the money is that's going to be owed. So, you know, it's kind of a necessary move that they have to make on paper to, you know, to keep the team moving as is. And there's more, as we know, there's probably going to be more moves like this on the way. So, you know, it was expected. He seemed like a good guy and well liked. He played well even after the trade, so it was kind of a weird situation, but you know, that's, I'm kind of I was fine with it when it happened the first time, and I'm fine with it now. I don't expect Weber to play either, so we'll see how that works out.
I mean, it's one of those things where Dodonov was productive, though. Know what I mean? He's extremely he had 46 some odd points or something. I mean, he had 20 goals, you know, at least. And it was just one of those things where we know we have to make a move, and you're not wrong, because there's going to be more. And I feel like you're hearing more William Karlsson chatter, and maybe even Alec Martinez, and even, you know what I mean? They're going to need to dump to get on the right side and get basically nothing back. And this, they're a victim of their own
choices,
exactly. Success, choices, doing all of it. And not a good position to be in.
No, not what do they probably plan for. I mean, the cap not going up because of COVID or whatever doesn't help. And they, you know, I'm sure they didn't plan to be in this spot, but they are. And, you know, Dodonov did do what he was expected to do, maybe not quite on the high end, but definitely on the mid range. So low end, they were hoping for 25 goals. You know, they were hoping for the kind of play that he was doing. So I don't think he disappointed in some ways, but yeah, I don't think he exceeded it by any chance like they were hoping, but you know, definitely, like I said, for $5 million, I think he won a certain level, and he wasn't quite that to keep around.
You know, speaking of $5 million, I kind of want to keep this going a little bit. So reports are that Vegas is going to re-sign Riley Smith for 3 years at $5 million per. Initial reaction is, how the hell is that going to happen? Because they actually freed that money up by this trade, because $5 million per goes to Montreal, and they use the LTIR pool for Shea Weber. So they just freed this money up. So you do have the ability, but now you don't have the ability to do anything else until you make more moves, which is kind of linked to our prior conversation about Dodonov. So they're not going to be able to announce this until at least, you know, free agency starts on the 13th of July. 3 years at $5 million. They call that a discount, is what I'm hearing from multiple outlets.
I wouldn't call it a discount, but I think that's about expected, right? I mean, I was hoping for, once you saw, I think it was Brust from Boston, got his deal, kind of set the market at 4.25. That's a deal.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like, so we were, I think I was kind of hoping maybe he'll give us a hometown discount coming at that. But, you know, you kind of, I kind of expected the like 5 million. That's what we were kind of hearing all along. So 3 at 5 was a pretty, I thought was about right.
I guess the discount would be Daniel Miramanov at the 762,000 per, basically the minimum for 2 years, yeah, which is what the Golden Knights re-signed him for. Use sparingly, but a player that the Golden Knights can use without him having to clear.
Clear, yeah.
So they don't have to do that whole, let's, you know, so they can basically slide, send him down. Right, exactly. Yeah. So they could send him down, bring him up, send him down, bring him up, and save money.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of need that, those types of players with as top end heavy as we are now, contract wise. You need these guys in at lower end entry level contracts to hopefully step up and outperform them to kind of take the hit away from some of these players that are probably going to be leaving. So, you know, he does look like he has some offensive upside, like you said, in a limited role. Hopefully he can expand on that and kind of make that jump that they're probably going to need with some, like I said, with some of these, depending on who leaves.
I think we got to grab Paula and get her into this. How about a discount for Marc-Andre Fleury, $1 million a year? how's that?
I'm sure a lot of fans would like that. Yeah.
I mean, we would be a few. I know for sure. And that man does not have a contract or a team at the moment, or will not, I should say.
I don't think you're grasping at straws. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, you could right so many wrongs. You could. I mean, Bruce Cassidy was a great hire because we found out that, you know, Barry Trotz is not going to coach this year, just today. So Winnipeg screwed on that deal. I guess no beer for life from that brewery to Barry Trotz. But Vegas does a great thing in getting Bruce Cassidy in here, which is option 1A, and he seems like a really level-headed guy. What was your thought on bringing Bruce in?
Is that for Paula?
Yeah, who are you?
Kyle, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty much as good as they were going to get for, like I said, we're not knowing who was going to be available and what decisions they were going to make. You basically change out a pretty good coach in Pete DeBoer for, you know, a pretty good coach in Bruce Cassidy, who, like, for all I've seen is, you know, he takes the Bruins, they've made the playoffs for 6 straight years. He seems like you said, a pretty straightforward, like, honest guy, especially with the, like, media. So, I mean, we all know that this team isn't pretty straightforward with the media. So that's kind of refreshing. I thought it's a great hire. We'll see what happens to be seen with the power play and all the things that, you know, and the offense that's dried up. Hopefully he can change that. But I thought overall for what's on the table, I don't think you could have made a better move.
I mean, we got so sick of talking about the power play and how bad it sucks, because I think it's got to be, there might have been at least a minute or two or more dedicated in every episode to talking about how much shitty power play.
That's been since birth.
I mean, that was with Gerard Gallant too. Yeah. It wasn't as bad, but it was not great. And poor Dallas is going to have a very, very bad power play for the next few years, at least. You got Pete DeBoer going down there to the Lone Star State to coach the Stars. I think we did really, really well in terms of, you know, with Bruce Cassidy. I really am interested to see.
Looks like he brought on another coach today, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, so it looks like, I guess, the goaltender coach for Montreal is going to come over, is what it looks like, and be the goaltender coach in Vegas. So that looks like the first, I mean, that's like reported, but that's, I've seen that multiple times.
Can I ask you, what do you think about Robin Lehner? Are you a big Lehner fan?
It's funny, the great divide in my household is the Leonard Fleury conversation.
Same, so,
you know, I am a Lehner fan. I think he gets a lot of crap for, you know, for things that, some are his fault. You know, he lets in some soft goals every now and then, but when he plays solid, I don't think, you know, like, see, he's like really good. In the bubble, he was awesome, right? And there's times where he's carried this team. He's been in a there's no way that he was going to come into that spot given the fan base in this town with the love for Marc-Andre Fleury and be loved in, like, he's kind of in a no-win situation in that sense.
Yeah, so, I had said that a while back. I said, you know, you have to feel sorry for him because. Yeah.
What's your guys' view on that?
Well, I'm a Fleury fan.
she's a Fleury girl. Yeah.
But I do feel bad for Leonard in that aspect, like I said, but I was pretty devastated when he left.
When Robin Leonard came, I thought initially it was a
good
move. I was a Leonard stan at first. I was, because of the age of Marc-Andre Fleury continuing to rise, of course.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? Leonard's never been the guy, but he's been in a bunch of places where he's been good. And I thought that this might've been the place where he gets to be the guy, because to beat the man, you know, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. I mean,
it looked just, like he was, yeah, sorry. I go mean, ahead.
No, I was just going to say it hasn't panned out.
Yeah, like he's had flashes where he's played really well and you're like, okay, now he's going to kind of take over and this is going to be how it's going to be. And then he kind of, you know, either gets hurt or is a little more inconsistent. Then I really thought when I was amazed they brought in Brossois, and I'm like, why are we doing this when you have an AHL goaltender of the year who can kind of come in and see what he has when you're already this high up against the cap? It didn't make any sense. And then he comes in and, you know, he gets hurt and he was about average and seems to get beat up high a lot, but so then, and then Thompson comes in at the end and kind of, you know, plays really, really well. And now we're kind of like, okay, well, why don't we just do this in the first place? Like, so and again, goes back to the moves that the front office made to kind of put themselves in this situation that, you know, and here we are. So, but I am a Leonard fan. I do think he can get the job done, and hopefully we'll see, you know, with a new coach, with a new goalie coach, it's, I think it just has to be more consistent.
Yes.
I mean, sure. I really enjoy Logan Thompson. I thought that if you would have just kept Marc-Andre Fleury, and there was no need at this point, hindsight, right? So you're looking at it and you're like, well, we don't really need Robin Leonard. You keep Marc-Andre Fleury and let him finish out his career like he was told, but that's a whole other argument for another time. And you have Logan Thompson under the wing of Marc-Andre Fleury. You can really put yourself in a good spot. A, at a discount, and B, in good faith, and also the way it should have been looking back at it. And that would have been your tandem until Marc-Andre Fleury rode into the sunset and became a Hall of Famer and a Vegas Golden Knight first jersey retirement. That's where we were heading, and then all of a sudden we weren't. And it's caused a big divide, not only in your household and not only in ours for the moment, but in a lot of...
amongst the whole fan base, yeah.
Absolutely. So now I think we'll do a quick word from our show sponsor.
Yes, from our friends of Inside the Rink, BetUS. BetUS has your NHL, NBA, UFC, PGA, and NFL betting lines for their 28th year of live betting. Sign up for BETUS.com with promo code RINK for 125% sign-up bonus.
Yeah, guys, again, 125% sign-up bonus. Just use the promo code RINK, R-I-N-K. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid, BetUS.com. Now, this is the fun part that I wanted to get to.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you something first, Carl. When you see, if you were to put Vegas Born on a t-shirt, right? Would you put it as one word or two words?
I think I would put it as two words.
Okay. The reason why...
And I'm going to have to send you a picture, but go ahead. Yes,
the reason why I'm asking you...
You might have already seen
it. I don't know if you've already seen it. He had briefly put it on Twitter.
Is this the new ink job?
Yes. So
I'm going to get it fixed up a little bit.
Let me finish.
Okay. Fine.
He got it for his birthday, and I just, the logo's beautiful, right?
Yeah, it was nice.
I just wanted him to get the logo, but he insisted on getting Vegas Born. Now, I wasn't with him because I had to watch our children, so he had gone by himself after work, and the guy posted it on Facebook, and I opened it, and I was like, Oh, it's one word. And then upon closer inspection, it actually says veg ass born.
I didn't see that when I
Kyle Christian did so, not
I'm gonna
see
give
that.
A, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, but
this is kind of a woman versus male thing. No, because there was
our good shout out to Lou, by the way.
Thank you, Lou.
He commented on it and said the same exact thing. Me, my sister, a couple other people. My friend Mindy, who does not watch hockey at all, was like, oh, is that a player's name?
Oh, man. Yeah, the Russian Swede, Veg Asborn. That's
who's so he swears that it's always one word. And I when I see Vegas born, it is two words.
Now you and Kyle are not
just
wrong.
Just throw a hashtag in front of it.
And then exactly. You know what? I might actually have him do that. That's funny that you said that. I was actually thinking about that. So you guys are not wrong. But my story with this is I'm Vegas born, they're Vegas born. A hockey team is one. I am one with this tattoo, which is about the hockey team. One word. I wanted one word. I didn't want veg ass born. Okay. I didn't want that. I wanted one word. So I'm going to go back in a couple of days and I'm going to have him just kind of do a little bit more of an extension of the G and an extension of the A. And so I'm going to have him bring it in.
Honestly, the emblem was looking really good. So I didn't even really pay that much attention to the word.
Yeah,
mark.
It's great.
Yeah. I think
this guy does.
It was pretty solid. So like, those are some pretty tough lines, I think, to get in there and make them look good, but your shading look good. It was a good job.
So it was my second tattoo. The first one was my wife's name. And then the second one is this one. I fell in love with ink as soon as I started. And
I've heard that happens. Like, well, yeah, now you're, mm-hmm. now you're kind of, you're on your way to a full sleeve and you know, you're kind of on that tense. Like you can't just stop it too. Right.
I mean, it's like an addiction. It's
right. I kind of wish he would leave the veg ass born. I don't know.
Because it's growing now. It's growing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you don't get that fixed soon, you have to keep it because then it becomes.
It's right. Like exactly. Like part of
it's its
your,
own thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. I like that.
So yeah. Time is like clock is ticking, man. So, but yeah, my sister got me a tattoo for my birthday and I never got it. So I kind of chickened out. So I got this certificate of like, yeah, you know, because my brother and my sister all have the same tattoo. And they're like, yeah, you need to get the same tattoo as us. I'm like, okay, yeah. And yeah, I totally didn't do it. So,
I mean, I thought.
I'll pass it on to like Jason. Jason, you can have my tattoo.
Right.
Nice.
I thought that I got my wrist done and I thought it was pretty painful. Jason said it wasn't. And then, but he said his on Friday was pretty painful.
The leg was, I was biting my shirt a little bit. It was.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of coverage on some of those spots.
Right. And it's a sensitive. Lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. I mean, it takes up basically his whole calf. I was like, wow.
That's what happens when you have big calves, man. It's just more to do.
Yeah, I know. That is the truth. What I wanted to do is we had something fun going on Twitter and I tweeted it out and so did you, you know, a few times. I tweeted out a lot because I like to tweet, apparently.
Yeah, I gotta learn how to retweet as much as you do. It's like, man, I thought I could only retweet once, but you seem to do it.
No, what you do is you undo it and then you redo it. Yeah, so that's what I learned. Yeah, and then it goes right into people's timelines. And with you with you know when you're growing as much as you are, what happens is that if you only have a few hundred or 1,000 or 2,000, it's a smaller audience. They'll see it. That, you know, that's the thing. They'll see it. So you undo and then redo. And then it goes right to the top of their timeline, whoever follows you. It's
I like it. See, I like the Twitter tips we're getting here.
What you posed on Twitter, and it had some fire behind it even before I got to it, which is amazing. So
yeah, really good, really good engagement, which I was happy to see.
Fantastic question by you. Las Vegas, Mount Rushmore of sports. Who do you put on it? And what I want to do is I was going to ask Paula hers and then I was going to do mine and then you do yours and then you're going to reveal who wins from Twitter. You can do their name, their, you know, their handle, however you want to do it. We'll get out to them. and make sure that they win, you know, and know this, and then what they've won. But mine and hers are completely different.
For sure. Yeah, that's why I kind of posted it, because it was weird. Like, you know, you're sitting there having some beers on a Sunday and you're like, man, you're watching sports, like, what, who? And it's kind of an age-old question. It's been done a million times, but like, you know, who is on the Mount Rushmore sport of Las Vegas? But actually, it's Mount Red Rock, I guess we should say. I purposely left it open to why people would choose what they would choose. And as they put stuff on there, they were kind of saying, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, you tell me, why do you put
on my first them on there?
So Paul, yeah, what is yours?
Well, I was going to ask you though, is it for an upcoming product?
No, but it definitely could,
because
could
be. That's what I thought you were asking it for. And Jason's like, I didn't even think of that.
That's brilliant.
And I was like, I bet you that's what it's for.
That might be the shirt that we're giving away.
This lady is she knows her stuff in terms of marketing.
But I was like, oh, that would be amazing. But okay, well,
there's some issues behind that with image and likeness, which maybe I don't want to get into from a legal standpoint, but we could probably, if we're giving it away, maybe we can get around it that way. But I'm curious to see who you have on your mountain and why.
Okay. Tarkanian, because
it has to be, right?
I mean, he's him.
Right.
I agree with the Andre Agassi. He does a lot for the Las Vegas city. Or at least he used to. I don't know. I mean,
there was a school in his name. We haven't lived there in a couple of years. Kyle can attest to this, that it's probably still there.
It's actually bigger than it is now. So yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Agassi Prep.
So what was your?
Bryce Harper.
That's a good one.
How many people?
Well, I mean, there's four presidents.
Four.
You got one more.
Okay.
One
more. At least.
I don't know. I guess part of me wants to say, I don't want to say Bill Foley. I really don't.
You know, I like that though, but you have to. That's the daddy of Vegas hockey. That is the poppy of Vegas hockey. That's the guy.
If he didn't do what he did to Fleury, I might consider it.
But if he didn't do what he did prior, he couldn't do what he did to Fleury.
That's true. And it's funny. There's a few more people that had answers similar to him. Like some people had Dana White. Some people had, they had Floyd's like, wow, you know, I didn't think about that. That makes a lot of sense. Cause you know, obviously what the UFC is and what Foley's done, you could obviously say the impact that they've had on sports in Vegas is astronomical.
Yeah. So I saw that you put in a comment too under, or you retweeted your quote, tweeted your tweet and said, should we like players only? Are you thinking now that it would be players only or Vegas figures or?
You know what? I kind of wavered on that, and you know, bad job by me for kind of catering to some, like, you know, not sticking to my guns. And it's like, man, because when you see these Mount Rushmore things, it doesn't usually include players and coaches, right? There's usually it's like either or, but given the kind of where I was already at, I'm like, you know what, and why I picked who I picked, I just decided to kind of, I'm keeping it with who I picked and it not well, just include whoever that you thought. So,
you know, Vegas is still such a baby with professional sports that, you know, to not use coaches or it's hard.
Mm-hmm. And I think there could be multiple lists too. We could do just, and people were getting really detailed and, well, is it local or is it native? I'm like, okay, well, that's a whole nother list too. And then then it even got into being like, okay, what's your definition of local? I'm like, okay, so now we're even getting into even more detailed.
Oh man, people have
parameters of lists. People, like, just tell me. So but that was part of the question. Like, why, if you can, who do you consider local and why? And who is, does that?
I would go with Dana White over Bill Foley.
Wow, my goodness gracious. So Kyle, I'm going to do mine, but I want to know, were your four all players?
No.
Okay.
But like, right when I sent the question, I was like, I had three like automatics. I'm like, okay, guaranteed this.
Of course.
And then the fourth, I was kind of like, him and hauling over, and I was trying to, that's where I kind of threw it out there. I was like, let's see what everybody else has to say here. And they really, there were some ones in there like, oh man, they kind of like threw me off here. I might have to change my deal here. And that's when I kind of send out, man, is it players? Is it this? And so, but I came back around, I kind of stuck to it and actually, you know, kind of spent a few days thinking through it. And yeah, but some people did get it right. So we do have a winner, I will say that, but we'll see what, I am curious what Jason has to say.
So obviously, so for me, obviously Jerry Tarkanian's on there. Jerry Tarkanian, I mean, that's the king of, you know, before there's Bill Foley, there's Jerry Tarkanian. That's Vegas sports. Okay.
So no player, no player only for you. You're down with.
I will.
And technically he's not local either.
So. No, he's not. He's from, right. Ohio. He's from Ohio. So yeah. Uslit, Ohio, I believe. Don't even ask me how I know. I mean, I know some weird stuff. So you have to have Tark. Tarkanian does not win the national championship without Larry Johnson. He absolutely does not. So Larry Johnson goes on there because Tarkanian from 73 to 90 had nothing. He had a couple Final Four appearances, but he couldn't get over the hump. If he gets over the hump with Freddie Banks, if he gets over the hump.
I was going to say, that 86-87 team was a monster.
Was tough. They and were it wasn't for favored, too, against Steve Indiana.
Alford, I still hate Steve Alford. And he's the most punchable coach ever. But, yeah, that could have been it. So
he refused to take the UNLV job because it's UNLV. He would rather go to Reno and Albuquerque, New Mexico, than coach UNLV because it's UNLV because of his history.
I'm glad he said that because there's no way I could get behind Steve Alford and on the UNLV bench. I'm sorry. So good for him. I respect him for that. Now I can really hate Reno.
So you got to have Tark. You got to have LJ. Also for me, you have to have Greg Maddux. I put Greg Maddux on there because he is obviously Look Valley High School, not from Vegas, but moved to Vegas at a younger age and had a lot of expansion in terms of what they did in baseball in Vegas and the minor leagues. And even, you know, him and his brother, Mike, did a lot of camps. I was included in one of those when I was a kid. Greg Maddux has done a lot for the community. So,
and is still the pitching coach at UNLV. You know, Vegas has always been that town that people just, that we're a town of grinders and hustlers and that take care of each other and our guests. But so I really want to just kind of convey that in a lot of the posts and a lot of the shirts that we do. Like you can buy a UNLV shirt with a strip on it pretty much anywhere, but can you buy a Wink Adams shirt? You know, or can you find, I'm sure we've had some nights at back at the old, O'Shea's. So, you know, can you find an O'Shea Theodore shirt? You know, you probably can't. So try to take the history of Vegas and mix it with on a unique twist to give people here something local that they can, that speaks to them and the history of like Vegas sports. So that's where that comes from.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, like you said, I mean, the same old
washed up ideas
just some old merch, like
with the strip and you know what I mean, and with dice, you know
with the Las Vegas sign, with the
right
okay, let's, you know, there's got to be something beyond that that we can, that's and a little more so clever
funny, like you said about eBay. I mean, years back, you know, I was always looking on eBay to get Jason like vintage UNLV stuff, and it always was just something different other than a shirt that said UNLV.
Yeah, and like, you would think you could find a Gucci Rose shirt somewhere, but you can't.
Right.
But you can at Vegas Varsity. So it's like,
that's right.
You know, I'm always looking for new ideas that, hey, would a Vegas local get that? You know, some shirts they're just not going to get, you know, it's not for everyone. It's for real fans that, you know, like that pay attention, that follow sports, that know the history, that will get it. And I'm okay with it being that niche because, you know, that's who we are, right? So,
yep.
I mean, your stuff is comfortable. It's great in terms of price and it's fantastic in terms of shipping. And it's just
fun.
And on top of that, it's fun and it's different. And we might have some ideas for you in the future in terms of some stuff, because we've kind of kicked that around.
Please send them my way. I'm gonna there's so much stuff that I've done that I haven't posted for a lot of reasons that, you know, I may just post them on Twitter. I think I sent you one that I probably can't post, but You know, just having fun with stuff. So you never know really what's going to resonate. So as many things, hey, if anybody out there has an idea, like we're, hey, we'll give you a cut. Like, you know, I should say we, it's just me, but, you know, hey, we're like, let's make this a community driven thing that we can all just be a big part of.
So Kyle Christian is with us. He's the creator and everything, VegasVarsity.com, at Vegas Varsity on Twitter. I wanted to ask you about the UNLV team. I know in the last few years it hasn't been as exciting as maybe it, you know, was their last run to the Sweet 16 15 years ago, and the teams from the early 90s and, you know, stuff like that.
Can I tell a funny story real quick?
Absolutely.
My very first customer that wasn't a family member or friend was Curtis Terry, who was a member of that Sweet 16 run 15 years ago. It was kind of interesting how that came about, but yeah.
So, anyway, I mean, CT is one of my favorite Rebels. And I told you that through a DM, is that he absolutely is one of my favorite Rebels. Wink and Curtis are one of the, like, it's like the last great, that team was the, one of the last great ones, you know, until we get another one. I'm hoping so. I mean, they've got, you know, Carl Jones signed today, 6'11", big man from LA Southwest, as well as Shane Noel from Arizona, transferring to UNLV from the Wildcats. That kind of rounds out their roster. That was the last two remaining scholarships. Not a whole lot that we know about them. Noel was a top 100 recruit a couple of years ago, so.
Yeah, brother was at Washington. I think he was Pac-12 player of the year.
That's right. I believe they're from that. I believe that family is from that area. If I like that Pacific Northwest area, I believe. And then, you know, Jones is just going to be a big man who can really help with rim protecting and give them some length and some depth, which they really, really needed. I was really surprised by Kevin Kruger last year winning 18 ball games. I felt like if there was a parade that was needed on Las Vegas Strip at all, it would be that Kevin Kruger in his first year with Band-Aids and scotch tape and putting this team together got to 18 wins and 10 in conference. I was blown by that, and I'm really excited for the future. What say you on that?
I would agree. I think what you look for in a first year is, like, do they progress, right? We saw so many teams that would start out well in the non-con and just fall apart, right? But this team got better. And I was like, okay, that's what you want to see. Like, it takes a while to gel. It takes a while, you know, to get going. And once they did, I really thought when they got to the Mountain West Conference tournament, like we got a shot here, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I really thought that it ended on a good note. And, you know, they kind of retooled in now, and you bring in new guys. And I think the last two guys that they brought in were definitely needs, you know, like we saw that Hamilton and, like, D-Will didn't come back. So where's that scoring going to come from? And where's that size going to come from? And they definitely filled those needs with these two guys from what it seems like. So hopefully, like I said, I know Hamilton's some tough shoes to like fill, but hopefully by committee, these guys can, like we did with D-Will, they find guys that are underachieving somewhere else that didn't get minutes that can come here and make a name. And you're hoping that this Noel guy is that guy.
I was really disgusted by the fact that Bryce Hamilton didn't win Conference Player of the Year. And I know you know who won Conference Player of the Year, because we just talked about this gentleman who happened to be, what, the 23rd or something pick in the draft? David frickin' Roddy. Now, that dude is tough, just like Hamilton.
Is he? He's the whiniest tough guy I've ever seen on the court.
And that's what he told me. That's what he told me.
I cannot believe that. Like, I've never seen a big dude muscle out guys and just pout and cry to the ref. I'm like, dude, just play ball and just take it to him. And you're sitting here whining. Like, what are you doing? And when he won Player of the Year, I was like, okay, man, fine. You know, you want to give him that. And then when he got picked in the first round, my jaw dropped. I was like, okay. And luckily they smartened up and they traded him three picks later. So kudos.
It was something like that. So Bryce Hamilton, Donovan Williams are not drafted, but they did sign, you know, different separate deals afterwards. So Bryce goes to Miami and he will be at the Thomas and Mack in the summer league or Cox Pavilion or you know whatever they're doing. He'll be on campus with the Miami Heat, Bryce will. And then Donovan got signed to a free agent deal with the Brooklyn Nets. So yep. They both ended up with teams, which I was happy with. We've seen in the past, I mean, look at Chris Wood. Look at what Chris Wood has done. Yeah. Look at what Joel Anthony did. Look at what, look at what Kem Birch.
Yeah. Lou Emerson. Oh. There's so many guys, and that's kind of where I want to get, like, that's what Vegas is, man. Guys that grind it out, that make careers. And, you know, like Chris Wood, we all remember that picture of him on draft night, head in his hands, right? And everyone feels bad for him. Like, now he's 20 and 10 guaranteed 40 million. Like that's the grinders at Vegas is, man. And I'm really happy to see that. So totally. But there's another Vegas guy on the Miami Heat too. Orlando Robinson from Fresno
State.
That's right.
That's right. What a good player. I mean, I really hated when they would play the Bulldogs because That's a tough matchup. I mean, just about anywhere in the Mountain West is a tough matchup. I like the team that they've put together. I would have liked to have Donovan back, but
yes,
I think that, you know, their schedule's not going to be fun. I mean, you'll have your cupcakes, but Dayton will come to the Thomas and Mack next year, which is a top 20 team. There will be some return games from next year. We know they're going to Canada on a preseason trip, which is a smart move. Every 5 years, you get a preseason trip. Really smart move by Kevin to have them do that. Extra practices, extra togetherness. I really feel like next year should be top three or four finish in the league. I feel like if we're moving forward, and I feel like they should at least get to maybe the Mountain West Championship game. We need to start talking about NCAA tournament in that town again. We need to make sure that people do not forget how amazing this university was. And Kevin being the first grad transfer of his kind, now using grad transfers. What an amazing story by ESPN. They ran a fantastic story about how he was the first, and it's come full circle, and he's using that and building a team. It's caught their attention. What do you look from UNLV next year?
As a fan, I would agree with you. I think, you know, we keep saying, okay, top half of the Mountain West. Like, we've never won a Mountain West Conference regular season, which is crazy to me. You know, never done it, which that's just ridiculous. You know, like, it's always San Diego State, and, you know, you get your usual suspects on there. We should be consistently in the top four of that. And so I think for it to show progress, to show fans that there is movement in the right direction, I think a top four finish is, I don't want to say it's necessary, but I think it would definitely go a long way. And I would agree with you. I think Mountain West Conference Championship would be great. You need to give yourself, you know, a chance if you're not going to be an at-large to make the like dance, because that's really what it is about, is being in the dance, you know, getting that recognition, getting back on that track. That's what fans want, right? And there's no better place in Vegas. People think that the Nice games are awesome, like, and how the city came around them when they started. The Rebels were that times 100 back in the day. Like, that, you talk about a galvanized city. That's what this city was for that team. And it is a running Rebel town still, but we're a town that wants winners, you know? And once they get back to winning again, it's that will follow. So I'm really hoping that in the next few years, we consistently make runs and hopefully every now and then make a deep run. But what's going to help that is the Mountain West as a whole. We saw that the conference was a little bit better than expected this year. So we used to go back when four or five teams were consistently making it. And if you're not going to play a good non-con, your conference has to be good. So hopefully there's a, you know, rising of all tides here. And, you know, we can kind of get those games on a consistent basis in conference that put us on a national level. So hopefully that happens.
UNLV was my first love, and there is nothing like a packed Thomas and Mack Center. There is nothing like it.
It's so loud in there. It's crazy.
I mean, it really, really is. And I just urge people to get out there. You know what I mean? There is no issue now with, you know, you have to be vaccinated or you need this or you need that. Just get out there, put your butt in the seat. And it's really, the prices have come down in the Kevin Kruger era. And there is no excuse. The Knights are great and the Raiders are the NFL, but it's born and bred from a long time ago, run a Rebel town. Let, you know, absolutely. Like you said, people need to make that way again, and the product matters. And I think that you need to give this guy a chance. Kevin is doing amazing things, and he's going to continue to do amazing things. We're talking with Kyle Christian here at Vegas Varsity, VegasVarsity.com. Before we let you out of here, wanted to give you a little bit of, you know, a minute or two, however long it takes for you to just tell us more, you know, give yourself a plug, give your brand a plug, tell us everything about Vegas Varsity.
I think Paula already let me do that. I just appreciate everyone that's, you know, kind of came to the site, and there's been a lot of positive feedback for the gear. You know, it's, I still get a kick when I see people wear it at games, like, oh my God, like people actually like it. You know,
that's so awesome. I didn't even think about it.
You know, the UNLV basketball team reached out and ordered a few things, which is awesome. I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know how they found it, but they found it. And, you know, it'd be really cool to see. It's just kind of a dream come true to see just the response that it's gotten. And, you know, I just really appreciate people like yourself who have kind of taken notice and have liked it and, you know, are open to kind of pushing the brand out there, because I really hope it does represent Las Vegas and the fans in it, and just continues to kind of tell that story. So however we can do that with as many teams and friends as possible, I'm just looking forward to kind of to keeping it going. So I just want to say thank you to you guys and everyone out there. So, you know, and like I said, I know we always want to give away some free stuff. We want to expose more people to it. So listen to Vegas Fever Pod, check out the website, and, you know, we'll just keep it going.
Absolutely. And then also VFP10 is the code to check out.
That. Yes, we cannot forget that. We don't give a lot of discounts, but we do give discounts to friends, and VFP10 is how you get that. So if you want 10% off, you know, and get some really cool stuff, that's the way to go. And that's not going away. So keep at it.
Awesome.
Kyle, we really appreciate
you.
Thank you. Coming on with us, and anytime. We'd love to have you on again. And that person who won that merch is extremely, 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 extremely lucky, because it's good stuff, and they're going to enjoy it.
Thank you. And I said you guys do a great job of representing Vegas and doing what you like do. I'm just happy to be a part of it. So thank you.